have on the phone, we have psychoanalytic therapist Risha Handlers, who practices in both Catskill and Rhinebeck.
Red Hook,
I beg your pardon, not Rhinebeck, Red Hook.
I've been in Rhinebeck, now I'm in Red Hook.
Okay, you get around a bit.
Yes, I'm a travelling psychoanalyst.
Now, you've had quite a lot of experience in dealing with patients undergoing the kind of a trauma inflicted by Hurricane Irene. What are you hearing from your patients? What sort of issues are coming up?
Well, the thing that in any kind of a trauma that people really need to do, and what I'm hearing, is they need to tell you their story. They need to tell you the story over and over and over again, particularly when you are having someone such as myself listen, when questions get asked that lead them to the feelings underneath that are the most despairing. So, you know, if you have people in your life who have been hit by Hurricane Irene, in a way in which they're handling a crisis, the best thing you can do is not tell them what to do, but just let them tell the story as many times as they need to, so that the story can get smaller and smaller and smaller. And what I'm hearing is a variety of things. I have patients who, several, who have done some volunteer work, who have gone up to Windham, put rubber gloves on, put masks on, and went wherever they were sent, and who felt very good about doing something towards helping other people. And the one woman that comes to my mind specifically is a woman who recently lost her job through no fault of her own, but boy, she just clambered right up that mountain to help other people, and I know that it helped her, too, to do something for people and see how much they were dealing with. I have another gentleman who actually runs a development up in the mountain area and who was, did a lot of work prior to the hurricane so that the place that he worked for would have less damage, and they did, so he's kind of an unsung hero who made a big difference to the people around him. For some people, it's turned into a boon. I have one patient who lives on the edge financially, and he has been tapped by a rather wealthy person who had damage to just her basement. He's been working for a month undoing her basement. So this has created a wide array of experiences and feelings for people.
This is so interesting to hear because so many of these stories don't get told, they don't get out there, but all of the emotions that this kind of a storm brings up, it's not just, as you were saying, on behalf of the victims of the storm, but it's also people who are undergoing other kind of traumas, such as a job loss, and if they just take the time to volunteer, that can help what they're going through.
Exactly. But, you know, in terms of the people who actually lost the house, it's not that different. I haven't had an opportunity to run a crisis meeting for people who have experienced the hurricane. I have had the opportunity to run crisis meetings in other circumstances. For instance, most recently I ran one for a company that had a very beloved manager get killed suddenly in an accident. And all of the people close to him and his spouse also work at this company, attended a crisis meeting. And what you will find with any loss is this. The loss in and of itself, of course, is a tragedy. But the people that are most drastically affected are people who have had other losses that haven't been processed. So, for instance, at that meeting of people that had lost their manager, there were also people in the room who had a spouse who had tried to commit suicide, who had a friend who had died suddenly of an illness, had a miscarriage. All of these other things contributed to the feelings that people had about the manager dying. And the hurricane isn't any different. If you're a person whose life has been, fairly serene, I'm not sure how many people there are like that, but perhaps there are some. And you came to this as, you know, a big loss, of course, but not compounding many other losses. Your capacity to handle it would probably be way far and above the person who recently went through a divorce, lost his child, got picked up for a DWI, and also now had, you know, the hurricane to contend with.
So losses piled upon losses.
Yeah, so this is what usually creates someone who can't cope with it, is someone who's had many other experiences in life that haven't really been taken care of, and then the big crisis comes along, and then they're flattened.
Now, say that someone is able to get their story out, whether however many times they need to do that, what would be the next step to kind of emotional recovery?
Well, it's helpful to ask the question, what, you know, what needs to be done? Now let's look at the facts of the matter. There's no help in not facing the facts. So the next step is really facing the facts, to do an inventory of what has been lost and, you know, to be a witness to someone who goes through that. In my case, I find it an honor that someone would have the trust to let me in on just how horrendous whatever the experience might be. So if you get an opportunity to be a witness, that's what you should be, just a witness, somebody who sits with you while you manage taking a look at reality, a difficult reality. Not to give answers, not to give clues, just to really sit with the feelings with that person. And then you have to figure out what can I do? People that are resilient face many crises. You know, we all have things that happen to us, maybe not a hurricane, but hurricanes in our lives. And it's the ability to overcome obstacles where resilience comes in.
And do you think that just hearing that kind of advice in itself would help them? That there is a series of stages to this, that it doesn't go on interminably.
It's normal. I think all of us are always worrying, in our culture in particular, where we try to look good most of the time. Is this normal? Is what's happening to me and the terrible feelings I'm having or the anger, because I imagine that some of the people who've gone through this have a tremendous anger. They're probably very angry at FEMA. They're angry at their insurance company. They're angry at how flood insurance works. You know, they're angry they built their house in this particular place. Or I saw one story on television, not in our area, of a woman who had just rebuilt her whole house, and then the hurricane came through again. So I guess you have a lot of reason to feel angry. But most of us are secretive about feelings. And so when we have uncomfortable feelings, particularly negative feelings, whether they're self-hating or other-hating, we're apt to go underground with them. And unfortunately, often this ends up with people feeling, you know, having headaches, having stomach aches, and not sleeping, all kinds of symptomatology of the body, because they have not had a chance to unburden themselves of their negative feelings. I like to use this analogy. I often use it with my patients who don't like to talk about, you know, their hateful feeling towards their parents, their children, their spouses. I use the analogy of a car whose exhaust system is stuffed with rags, and you can't get the toxic air out. Well, then the engine is going to go soot. But if you pull those rags out and you let the toxins out, well, now the engine can purr again. And that's how human beings are about negative feelings. If they stuff them, if they don't talk about them, it blocks the more optimistic feelings. And to be resilient and overcome obstacles, one needs those resilient feelings.
Right. Well, that's great insight and great advice there. Is there any kind of a time limit on the kind of healing process?
Well, I'd have to say again to you, you know, for uncomplicated grief, even if it's someone you love very much, like if your spouse of 30 years dies of a heart attack or cancer or even a car accident, and your relationship with that person was good, you got rid of your negative feelings over the course of the relationship, the normal course of grief is allegedly 2 years. But for complicated grief, and the same would go for a hurricane, meaning if you lost your house, but you didn't also just go through a divorce or, some other kinds of tragedies, you just didn't get over surviving breast cancer, well, and you're able to rebuild, get enough financial assistance to rebuild somewhere, I would say it would be similar. It would take the time that it does to put your life back together. You know, Freud said that the most important thing to human beings is their plate.
Is their plate?
Plate comes before hunger, relationships, that one has to have a room of one's own to feel grounded in life. So losing your space to a hurricane is really a major occurrence in terms of being able to get over it. So part of the timeline is how quickly do you have a safe place to be in. So for those people who, end up in a shelter and it takes them quite some time, they don't have friends or relatives where, they can sequester themselves for some period while they rebuild, their grief is going to be much more complicated and take them much longer. If somebody doesn't have a support system around them, their grief is going to be more complicated and take them longer.
Okay, so a support system helps as well.
Including psychoanalysts.
Including psychoanalysts. Yes, put in a shout there for yourself.
Right.
Okay, is there anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you?
About the hurricane?
Yeah, about how you deal with trauma of a hurricane.
What comes in my mind is interesting because during the course of the hurricane, I have a new baby puppy and she went through a trauma and I had to drive to the emergency room in Kingston. But she is fine. But while I was there, there were a number of people who were bringing their dogs to the emergency room because of the hurricane. There was a woman about to have a baby any minute. I mean, she was about to pop out. And she had a 10-year-old Great Dane, who usually they don't live much more than 10 years. And the dog had drank water, flood water. And because it drank flood water, it had to have surgery. It was a $3,000 bill.
Oh, my goodness.
This woman's basement was underwater. Her car didn't work. She came with $3,000, some of which were singles. It was the last money she had on earth. And she handed it over to keep her dog alive. So, I don't know what your stories of resilience are, but to me this is, it's a story of human resilience. She felt the rest will take care of itself. This is what was facing her at the moment, was to save her dog's life, and so she did.
And that animal was clearly so important to her as well.
That's right. Despite the fact that her house was underwater, she had no car, and she was about to birth a baby. So, I think that the human spirit is just remarkable. I guess that's the other thing I want to say, that despite it all, despite hurricanes, despite other losses, despite tragedy, people seem to get up and be human beings. And that's what she did.
Okay, Risha, that was absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for coming on the afternoon show.
And I thought we were going to talk about you too.
Oh, no.
Next time.
We've got too much to talk about.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Okay, Risha, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Am I off the air?
No, we're still on.
Okay.
Sorry. We're still up.
I was just going to say that was Risha.
Risha
Handler's.
Is gone, yes.
Yeah, that was Risha Handler's psychoanalytic therapist. And
why don't I play a song and then we'll bring Renee up in a second? All right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on the WGXC Afternoon Show.